Mornings on SEN.
Yeah, it's been a busy first hour dominated by the situation unfolding with the CEO of the Essendon Football Club, Andrew Thorburn, standing down only 24 hours into his appointment. A lot of you had your say on that. We will move the football discussion past that after our next guest because Wayne Hawkes is here for the Westbury Stud. It's all about success with Tarzino at Westbury. Wayno, thanks for stopping by again.
KC, how are you? Well, you know what? Everyone, I've heard you. I've listened to you for the last week. Does everyone not know your name's Kane? I mean, seriously, that bloke from Hawthorn, didn't he just start something
Corny?
Yeah, corny. Chad. I got the Chad one. Chad was
I got
a beauty.
Graham.
Weren't
you quick on the text as well?
Yes,
you thought that was quite hilarious.
Yes, I was going to say I was on the Balti Bridge driving, but I was in the passenger seat and... I was in the passenger seat and they called you Chad. That was great. They didn't even call you Pam. They can be your mother.
But no.
Hey, it's okay. You know what? I was at the races last Sunday at Sandown. And Michael lives in Sydney. And this one owner of mine called me Michael four times. So don't worry. It's all good. You know what? You and I are the same, mate. We're both not the best in our family, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm actually not an insult. I'm happy to be the third best footballer in my family. The other two were pretty good.
I'm the worst footballer in my family.
Hey, mate, the landscape of racing in this country is interesting, and we'll get to Richard Callender's thoughts shortly, but traditionally last Saturday in Sydney was always the end of the Sydney Spring Carnival. Then every good horse comes to Melbourne. Not the case now, though, is it? How do you see the landscape?
No. Yeah, you're right. Last weekend in Sydney was a holiday on the Monday, public holiday, and then all roads lead to Melbourne, and that was the best of the best. To be fair, it was like finals time, and they're all at the MCG. Whereas it's a bit AFL-like now, you've got finals all over Australia. So, look, from a purist point of view, you want to see everyone having the, everyone coming together and doing a preliminary final, because the AFL and the NRL grand finals have both been a bit disappointing. But, you know what, it's spreading our industry, so it's good for a participant. It's great because your quality is not as good. But I'm a racing purist, and I'd just love to see the best get together. But that's not going to happen. The Sydney v Melbourne rivalry thing is huge, and Melbourne have to lift. They've been in charge for a long, long time, and Peter Volandis in Sydney has certainly clawed it back. But it is what it is. But as I said, I'd rather have. The other thing is, it's not just the horses, Kane. All the best jockeys, you know, like I remember Darren Biebman and Hugh Bowman in the early days. I mean, they just moved to Melbourne for a month, go and stay at the Como or somewhere like that in South Yarra for a month. And you'd see them, you know, riding at Geelong and these smaller meetings. So, but it's not to be. It is what it is.
So Richard Callender has said this morning that the Everest has overtaken the Melbourne Cup. There's been a strong reaction, as you can imagine, to those in Melbourne that believe that he's completely off his head with that. But can you make a case or not?
Richard Callender. We were both, it was a Tuesday before the Golden Slipper and he was interviewing me and he said something smarty to me and I said, Richard, you and I are both living off our old man, so just shut up and get on with it, because his father was a racing journalist for 30 years, Kenny
Legend.
Callender. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, look, Richard's entitled to his opinion like we all are. He works for probably Racing New South Wales, so he's got that hat on. The Everest doesn't have a public holiday in Melbourne like we do. I think the Melbourne Cup should ever be a public holiday nationally, because it is the race that stops the nation. So you, as really a non-racing person, Kane, everyone you know stops and watches the Melbourne Cup. It wouldn't matter where it is.
Yeah, 100%.
I remember the year Prince of Penzance won with Michelle Payne, and I was in... I was in the Essendon Woolworths, to be totally honest, and I stopped and watched the race, and a bloke walked up to me and didn't know who I was, said, oh, how good was that? The girl just won. You know what I mean? So we're not at that stage yet, but is it building? It certainly is building, but it's a $15 million race. So I sit on SEN track with Gareth Hall on Monday. I think the Melbourne Cup, I think it's worth $8. I think it should be worth $15 now. Well, for what it draws in, for the impact that it has on the racing industry, it's the 1 week of the year that pays for the other 51 weeks of the year. So I think the Melbourne Cup is probably lagging a touch. You know, we aren't talking about the Melbourne Cup all year because they're staying races. And if you have an off-season race, Kane, in Sydney, they are wound up to say, hey, Hawksy, what a great win it was. But could it be in the Everest in 6 months' time, old mate? So, I mean, you know, Peter Verlander has got his team around him doing a hell of a good job from a promotional point of view, 52 weeks of the year. So Melbourne needs to kick up again. But it's certainly not the race that stops a nation. Is it a good race? Yes, it is. Is it getting better? 100% it is. But, you know, we're getting 40,000 to Randwick to see the Everest, which is great. But Melbourne Cup day, I mean, you just go to any TAB this Melbourne Cup morning. If you're not in there by 9:30, you won't get a bet on.
Wayne Hawks is with us. He's happy to take a call or two from you, 1-300-736-736. If you've got a question on any racing topic or any other areas, I'm sure he'll be happy to ask as well. Now, you've won three Caulfield Guineas in the past 10 years or so. You got a runner this Saturday, and are you a shot?
For Gita San, well, he was a shot until he drew the outside barrier. He ran second the other night at Moonee Valley, but when you draw the outside barrier, how would I describe it to you? You're six goals down a quarter time. That's about the right
So that's the disadvantage. 100% six goals down at quarter time.
100% is because in yesteryear, when I was a kid, what would happen is the jockeys would just shave each other and cut everyone fine, whereas we are really a lot like the trots now. We have to stay in our lanes. We can bit of argy-bargy on the home corner, but and then the stewards turn a blind eye to that, to be honest, because otherwise you'd be three back the fence of the trots, and that's where you stay quite often. But it is what it is, isn't it?
So how are the odds affected by that then?
Well, the odds are always going to be a bit worse because there's two things with odds. It's amazing. You can run second beaten a bob of the head and you'll be 8-1, but the horse that beats you will be 2-1 favourite. It's last start winners always come in short. And my bloke ran second over the mile the other day. He's done really well. He's trained on tremendously well for Gita San, but as I said, when you draw the outside barrier, he's just going to have to go back and just ride for luck. And aft cabin came out, so we're certainly losing the draw card. So that certainly opens the race up a hell of a lot more. So that's certainly going to make it easier to win the race. And I think now with aft cabin out, I don't know whether there's a real absolute standout. So gives my bloke more of a chance. But as I said, six goals down at quarter time, it's hard to get back.
It's not ideal, is it? Hey, last week we spoke about Very Elegant. Ran okay last week in France. So I want to ask you, though, if she was your racehorse, what would you do with her now?
Well, she's a Melbourne Cup winner. She's done everything. Our own Jared Waitley lost his marbles in the call. He reckons it's one of the greatest things that he's ever seen on any sporting arena. And he has a love affair, Jared, with Very Elegant, and rightly so. She's won 11 Group 1 races, 11 of the greatest races in the country. She's ticked. She went overseas to have a crack. It's now breeding season for us now. So at the end of the day, you decide now whether you keep going with her for another season or whether it's breeding season, because the people that don't know, you can't serve a mare in Australia or the Southern Hemisphere until the 1st of September, and you've got until Christmas time to do that job. In Europe, I think it starts on the 1st of February. It's they're basically 6 months behind, if that makes sense. So she could be served right now to a great stallion like Frankel, who's the world's best, but they could be served now and then she could come back to Australia, foal down. That's what I would do with her. I don't think she, you know what, I'll give you another footy analogy, Kane. Joel Selwood retired and did a marvellous job, and he is the number one footballer in the AFL now, even though he's not in the AFL anymore. So she's a bit the same boat. So I reckon she needs to retire and go out on a winning note, because what you don't want to see is, like a footballer yet again, just go for that one more season and do it one more season too long, and then the critics just love hitting you, don't they?
Absolutely, I do. Now, we do like doing this each and every week. It's time for another one of your favourite Cox Plate memories for the Moonee Valley Racing Club. Celebrate a centenary of legendary this Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day. What do you got for us today?
2017 Cox Plate. We'll listen to the audio.
It's Game O Chop at the 350. Weeks on the outside. Bowman hasn't boomed yet. The valley's rocking and the world is knocking. Weeks goes to the front. 200 to go.
Now, she won four Cox Plates, Kane. So you say, why that one? Well, the reason is because I don't reckon it was probably Hugh Bowman's greatest ride out of those four, because he was in a hurry to get going at the half mile. It's a 2,000-metre race, and with 800 metres to go, he was stoking the great mare up. And even though he was sitting quietly, they were still running near flat out. And he came around the corner, and all of a sudden he was a sitting shot left in front, because normally Winx sits back and powers home. And she was a sitting shot out in front with 200 metres to go, and Humidor ran her to probably a long neck, probably a metre. In human terms, probably ran her to a metre. So she was pretty game. So it shows you, even though you got the best horse, you still need the things to go right for you. And they probably didn't go quite right, and she still got away with it.
Was that one of the few times you thought she could be beaten?
You didn't think she'd be beaten when you were going there. I think everyone wanted her to win. And she was a sort of horse that, even if you backed against her and she won, you go, oh, well, I've lost, but it was Winx. So, I mean, they're crowd favourites, they're crowd pleasers. So she looked in trouble at the 100-metre mark, and Mooney Valley's only got a short straight, and she was probably a bit lucky that it was only a short 220-metre straight.
Experience the ultimate mates day out with racing, food, drinks, and one legendary party in the Ladbrokes Mated Mode Carnival Zone. Wayne, so you got big day on this Saturday, but it doesn't sound like you're feeling that confident.
Well, as I said, I mean, just you're going in perfect and everything's right, but you just draw the outside barrier, and you just need, put it this way, he needed to draw 1-5, have a perfect run, me to do my job, the jockey to do his job, and we'd go and we'd be a big chance. Whereas you just got to knock the odds back a little bit, and that's where we're at, unfortunately.
And in relation to the Everest and the Melbourne Cup, this text from Cam to you. Morning, fellas. The Everest reminds me of a Marvel movie. Lots of money involved, no substance, and leaves you feeling deeply unsatisfied, says Cam. You agree with that?
Nature Strip's the number one horse in the number one sprinter in the world. He's the number one horse in the country, and he's the number one sprinter in the world. So, Cam, if you had Usain Bolt in any running race, I think you'd...
You'd watch.
You'd, exactly right. Yeah, so it's as simple as that. It's a great race, and we've got some great horses. Our producer Ross said off air before, you know, maybe it's because we've got the best horses running around, that why it's so good. And in a couple of years' time, they mightn't be there. But you know what? Let's take it while we've got it.
Wayne, love your company, mate. Thanks for stopping by as always.
Great pleasure, Corn.
Corn, it's all about you.
Wayne Hawks, Tarzino, Reliable Man, Redwood and El Rocker, each providing success in more ways than one Westbury stud.